In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The football playoffs squeezed into one small cup.
Setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
Track the playoffs now. This is 7 in Heaven.
Give it to me, fine.
You going first or am I going first?
I mean, I got it. I told you
I might have to do
figuring
something.
Out the wild card right now in the AFC is just stupid.
I might have to do something I really don't want to do.
So, it's up to you.
You go first.
Okay, I'm going Chiefs number one still. Even though the Bills have been the best team, this is not a power ranking. The Chiefs have not played not even close to their best football. Well, I think the Bills have played their best football. So I still think the Chiefs will be the team.
Good point.
In the AFC, but the Bills have been unbelievable. Clearly, the Bills have been the best team in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Now it looks like the best team in the NFL.
They've looked very good, yes.
Then I have the Ravens at 1-2. Still the team I think is going to win.
The number two seed?
No, the three seed. I have the Chiefs, Bills. Then
okay,
Ravens. I think the Ravens are still the team that will win the AFC North. And I have the Texans rounding them out. Of all the divisional leaders, we go to the wild card. Kenny, scoff, make fun, ridicule. I mean, I don't feel great about this.
Yeah, I know who you're putting.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Who are you putting?
I have the Jets.
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm going to scratch that out.
And partly just because I was blown away by seeing that arm talent again with Aaron Rodgers. He sucked me in. He was moving defenders around with his eyes. He was getting rid of the football. The way he got rid of the football, I was blown away. I know that sounds silly because a lot of people think he's probably not going to make it through the year and he's not as mobile. Then I have the 3-0 Steelers, and I'll round it out with the Chargers. Whatever. Throwing my hands up in the air.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you got to give some sound reasoning at all for it.
Well,
you
the Steelers, because they've jumped out to the nice start at 3-0.
All right.
And I have so much respect for their defense that when the offense comes crashing down, the defense will still win them games. Like, T.J. Watt, much like Myles Garrett, could just still win you a game.
But you can't just say, I'm throwing my hands up. Because you can pick anybody then. You don't want to just pick anybody.
Well, that's what I think. The reason I started the show when you asked me, do I feel better or worse about the situation following the weekend. Like, I don't see a huge gap between the best of the AFC and right now, like, where the Browns are. I don't see a huge gap.
I want to talk about that just very quickly coming up. However, number one, my 7 in Heaven. Number one, Kansas City. Number two, I still have Houston because they play in the sewer division.
Yeah.
Where do you have 2-0-3 teams in that division right now?
Titans and Jags.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Will Levis is a walking turnover. And the Jags, I might have already quit on their season.
When's Mason Rudolph taking over?
And we'll find out very shortly. So right now, like, Houston's going to be they're going to be able to stack wins against the AFC South. So we'll put Houston number two. Buffalo number three. I still think they lost a bunch of pieces on defense, but my dear Lord in heaven, they are gassing everybody on offense. Number four, and yeah, I know who they fired and who we have and who hasn't scored 20 points yet. Number four, I still have the Ravens. They got to win. I still have the Ravens. Now things are going to get messy. Number five. I have no confidence in any of this, but I can't put them number five. Never mind. Number five, I have the Jets.
Wait, you
agree with
me?
Number five, I have the Jets. Yep.
Wow.
Because I just saw who the Chargers play coming up, and I went, nope, never mind.
What, because of their schedule?
Yeah, like we haven't still shaken out who's real and who's not, but I mean, they got Kansas City coming up on Sunday. So I'm going to pick them to make the playoffs. They're going to be 2-2. I'm going to pick them to make the playoffs. I'm going to put the Chargers at number 6 behind the New York Jets. My problem here is this, is I have to be honest. I cannot just be emotional. And I told you at the beginning of the show, I was at football practice yesterday getting harassed. And I can't do anything about it because it's the head coach and technically he's my boss in some certain sense. So I can't sit there and just rip him because he's a Steelers fan. What?
I mean, he's your boss of a volunteer position?
He's the head coach. I mean, there's a pecking order here. He's the one who's
got to
make...
We've got a lot to discuss in the break, sir.
Okay, maybe in the break, but I feel I need to make sure I stay in order, and I'll tell you why during the break. Maybe we can do that on the podcast, because I know that Lyman definitely doesn't want to talk about these sort of things on the air. So he's a Steelers fan. And I don't want to leave the Steelers out to be petty. I have to be honest with myself. And so as you'll see in my scribbles, right here on our 92.3 The Fan YouTube page, because I'm sure Keith is going to post that, is right now I have Miami at number 7. Why, oh why, would I have Miami at number 7?
Who's going to be their starting quarterback?
Exactly. Is it going to be Tyler Huntley?
Mm.
Is Tyler Huntley as good as Justin Fields?
No.
Are their weapons better than what they have in Pittsburgh? Probably. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Definitely.
I want to pick Miami. I just want to pick Miami. I don't want to pick Pittsburgh. I don't want to pick Pittsburgh.
I just don't know if they can recover.
Well, Lima made a great point about Pittsburgh. Even if they go 7-7 down the stretch, they're 10-7. That might be the top wild card number.
Right. Now, next three games for the Dolphins, Tennessee, New England, and Indy.
You can see it in the screen.
I mean, those
crossing off Miami. I'm writing in Pittsburgh.
You said that was Dolphins, Tennessee.
Yeah, Dolphins have Tennessee. They're at New England, then at Indy, then Arizona at home.
That's not a hard schedule.
That'd be a get right month.
Who does Pittsburgh have?
They need a get a quarterback month.
That's true.
Pittsburgh has. They have Indy. They have Dallas. They have Vegas. I got questions about all those teams. Then they have the Jets. Then the Giants. Oh God. Oh God. Oh, they're gonna.
Here's what we learned. We don't know anything.
That team is going to pull everybody down in the gutter like they do every year.
No,
they're
going
to get
anything?
To the playoffs.
We don't know anything because it's been preseason.
Oh, God.
3 weeks.
It's not been preseason. And then if it's preseason, then Kevin Stefanski should be fired for playing his starters in preseason games. If this is preseason, then he's playing his starters and he should be fired. Why is Deshaun Watson out there with James Hudson III playing left tackle? 216-474-0092. It's the exact.
No, I told you why.
Stop denying reality. This is the regular season. Stop denying reality.
Steal as many wins as you can while you're trying.
No,
especially,
that's garbage.
Especially when you revamp the offense. They new offensive coordinator.
Stop denying yourself the truth. Stop it. That's garbage, and you know it's garbage. These are regular season games. They count. If they didn't count, then he wouldn't put Deshaun Watson out there with James Hudson III playing left tackle. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't put Deshaun Watson out there where you had to move Joel Bitonio over to left tackle, put Ethan Posick at guard, put Zach Zinter over there, and play musical chairs with your offensive lineman. And put Nick Harris at center. You wouldn't do any of that. So stop it. It wasn't preseason. You're 1-2.
Two of your games against NFC teams.
Garbage.
The first game.
Making excuses.
Clear as day, I was right about the first
Stop
game.
Stop making excuses.
Clear as day. I told everybody the first game was going to be
misery. Yeah, and then you sat here on the radio and told everybody we didn't have to worry about the Giants and we were going to boat race them. And then look what happened.
I thought we would.
And they're 1-2.
I thought we would.
They are a 1-2 football team. This is who they are. Stop denying reality. You're lying to yourself.
I'm not denying it. I don't think it's
embarrassing.
I don't think the season's over at 1-2.
The season isn't over
at
1-2.
The way you're talking, it sounds like you think they're done.
No.
You think their quarterback sucks, their
no.
line sucks, no. their coaching sucks, and they're done.
Well, all those things
That's
were kind of true.
Like from
all
Ken
those
Garmin.
Things were kind of true on Sunday, were they not?
Yeah, on Sunday. There's a lot of teams that look bad on
okay,
a given
well,
Sunday.
I can only go by what you've shown me. And so far, you haven't shown me much. So I'm only going to go on what it is. Because right now, I'm holding out hope for something that I can't improve is going to be there. Guys, I just told you we have
Njoku back, Chubb back.
216-474-0092. Tell me where I'm wrong. I'd love to have David Njoku and Nick Chubb back. That's fine. But do we or do we not have a Ken Dorsey problem that is starting to bubble up here?
I don't know
do
what he does.
Do we or do we not?
I don't know what he does.
Exactly. So we have to ask the question. Too much Dorsey? not enough Dorsey. And where did we do that before? That's right. In a season that went straight to hell because we didn't know what the offensive coordinator was doing. Again, tell me where I'm not telling people the truth.
Wait, you don't think some of the Bills fans miss Ken Dorsey?
Tell me where I'm like, yeah, they do. Sure. Was he the only customer at a restaurant that they had back in the day? That might be the place that misses him. Maybe the new offensive coordinator that moved into Buffalo with his old next door neighbors, maybe he's a real jerk. Maybe he cuts their grass.
See?
Maybe he doesn't put up a privacy edge. Maybe they miss Ken Dorsey. That is it. Again, tell me where I'm lying to anybody. This is the unvarnished truth I'm giving everybody right now. You just don't like it. Don't say preseason. Do not insult these people's intelligence and call it the preseason. I never even did that in my rose-colorous glasses days. I've never done that. Ever. You are 1-2. Your back's not up against the wall just yet, but starting to get close. Because I'll tell you right now, with this, this is no murderer's row. I mean, you got Miami's a weird situation with their quarterback. The Jets are the Jets are the Jets. Nobody believes in the Chargers but me. Nobody seems to believe in the LA Chargers in this city but me and maybe Cleve TA. That's it.
Wait, I put them on there.
You put them on there at number 7 begrudgingly. You put Denver in front of them before. I'm telling you the truth. And you know I'm telling you the truth, damn it. 216-474-0092. Coming up next, Curtis Danberg going to join us on the show. Don't say preseason. That is going to be a trigger word for me. You say preseason, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm talking to Tone, not everybody else. You guys can say what you want. But you say preseason, that's insulting to their intelligence. They're paying full ticket prices. They're tailgating. They're filling up the stadium. They're booing. They don't boo during the preseason. They boo now. Oh, yeah, they have the chance now. And if it were the preseason, then this is malpractice because you wouldn't put your starting quarterback behind
those
guys.
They boo them every game in the regular season now. We got 2 years of that. I was going to ask you when the ALDS tickets were going to go on sale. We have Curtis Danberg in studio from the Guardians. I should just ask, when are the ALCS tickets going on sale? When are the World Series tickets going on sale?
One step at a time.
How do I get them all?
That's pretty presumptuous, isn't it?
One step at a time, Lima. But to answer your question, Division Series wildcard tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. this morning. CLEGuardians.com/postseason in a few hours.
Wow. 2 hours and 38 minutes.
Make it happen. And hopefully wild card, we don't need to worry about that. Magic number is 1
now
to secure our spot in the division series and go straight to the DS.
Owen's annoyed, though. He was getting ready for the dry run, the soft launch
this weekend
of the playoffs
against the Astros. It was a dress rehearsal dry run for the playoffs, and now it might not even matter.
The games still matter because it's fan appreciation weekend. We've got the Ohio Cup. We're battling the Reds the next 2 days. We need to secure and retain the Ohio Cup. So that's in our crosshairs right here tonight and tomorrow.
The most important thing to me, Kurt, is Saturday, pregame in the district. I will be there.
Sugardale Dollar Dogs. Yes. We've got special fireworks Saturday night. We're bringing back, by popular demand, the Jose Ramirez City Connect bobblehead on Friday. And tickets are only $12. Pack the park, $12 on the entire upper deck.
Will they celebrate an Ohio Cup the way they've celebrated the last week?
They should. I encourage it. I think you should. I think you should tarp off the lockers and celebrate the Ohio. I think it should be done. It should be because it's a cool thing. Like when they do the trees at Auburn. Well, they can't do the trees anymore. A guy poisoned them.
Yeah.
When they roll something in Auburn, I don't know what they do. March Hugh Freeze out of town. Whatever they do, I think it would be a cool thing. Like, you know what? It's a long baseball season. Other teams do not have anything. We have the Ohio Cup with the Reds. And if we retain the Ohio Cup, it's a celebration and it's on.
It'll be on.
We should do it.
Hey, players, we're getting good practice and celebration. So why not keep it rolling?
I think it'd be a great tradition to start. This is like a weird thing for you guys because like it's like, all right, then you have the ALDS. But it's like you want to make sure everybody's engaged because it's a postseason. Postseason is postseason. But I do think that some people maybe they're not going to be as in tune on some of the other teams that you could possibly play. Like, we'll do our best, but how do you keep the engagement through, like, the 2 weeks, I think Lima's saying, that could possibly be between the postseason and the and when you play?
Yeah, probably, you know, a week and a half. Yeah, it's going to be a little long half. Because, again, once we hopefully secure the division series, we're jumping. But we'll keep an eye. There's a lot of movement on those seeds and who we're going to play. But it could be anything from Houston to Kansas City to Detroit. Baltimore's in there. So, hey, we'll keep our eye on them. We'll be ready to go.
Stephen Kwan and his status hopefully coming back. What are we thinking with the lineup right now so far? Because there's been guys who have been able to step up. You know, he struggled and then he hurt his back, but there's been other guys who have been able to step up in his absence.
Yeah, and Kwani is eligible to come off the IL today, so hopefully he's feeling better. And Angel Martinez jumped into that leadoff spot, and we've found ways to win games, and that's the name of the game. And hopefully this long layoff, while it could be that, we can rest our rotation, set it up the way we want. And one of the coolest things about getting this year into the division series in the top two seed is you have a home game, an off game, a home game, and an off game. So for us, with our competitive advantage being our bullpen, giving them rest is huge.
Yeah, that is a very big thing.
But just, Curtis, in your wildest dreams, or, you know, just the Guardians fans you get a chance to hobnob with, I mean, this team was supposed to be an afterthought around the leagues, and who's this manager taking over for somebody as great as Tito? And they're in command. Like, at the end of the season, their chance to put the finishing touches on a bye and a two seed, I mean, that is insane. Like, has that sunk in, or are you thinking, well, who cares? It's on to the playoffs.
No, I don't think we take it for granted. It's been a fun season from the solar eclipse and opening day all the way through. I mean, it got a little tense there in August when the Royals tied us, but we buckled up and persevered, and I think that's what this team's about. And voters kind of led us from day one, and it's been the team. We've gone through a lot of adversity. Think of what the rotations happen all year long, but we find ways to win, and that anchor's really been that bullpen.
Do you have any idea what vote is going to do for a pitching rotation in a potential ALDS with the Guardians having a chance to set that rotation?
They're crunching the numbers. They're having conversations every day to figure that out. But obviously,
I think you'd come up with 10 different permutations. I mean, I'm being dead serious.
I think Tanner Bibee, Matthew Boyd are probably the leaders in the clubhouse to lead that off. But hey, we've got some time, as we said, to set that up. Hopefully Cobb can figure out his blister and get healthy and help us out as well.
Curtis, as far as the opponents, is there anybody you do want to see or don't want to see? Or are you careful about saying these sort of things like I should have been in 2017?
I'm very careful about.
Yes, I would imagine.
Just see what comes and win those games. Don't ask for a certain opponent.
Well, Curtis, I can't thank you enough for the time.
Because I've done that before.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
People are like, I'm not rooting for any opponent.
Then would you like to bring on anyone?
No, I would not like to bring on anybody. Except for Curtis, I'd like to bring him on the air, but that was about it. Curtis, thank you very much. Tell people again, tickets, the availability and everything like that.
CLEGuardians.com, Upper Deck. We packed the park, $12 tickets for the rest of this homestand. Postseason tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock, CLEGuardians.com/postseason. Make sure if you come to the ballpark, swing by the team store, get your clinch gear, Division Champs clinch gear. So a lot happening. Bobblehead Friday night for Ramirez, fireworks Saturday, Dollar Dogs, pregame in the district, Kids Fun Day on Sunday.
Curtis, you remember the old days, going to the grocery store, getting in line for those playoff tickets?
Things have changed a little.
The season ticket holders, are they already?
They're already in. They're already so this is the public on sale today. That's awesome. At 10.
That's awesome. Curtis, thank you very much
Go
for
Guards.
The time, friend. Absolutely. By the way, 92.3 The Fan, we are looking for a winner. Caller number nine. Number nine. You're going to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Cleveland Guardians take on the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow, Wednesday, September 25th, 4:40 p.m. at Progressive Field. Caller number nine. All right, it's all from the Cleveland Guardians in your home for Cleveland Browns Football Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Caller 9 gets to go see the Guardians with a four-pack of passes. Caller 9, 216-474-0092. Go ahead and get in while you can. So go ahead and try to win those tickets. Caller number 9. By the way, speaking of the Reds, they're playing them tomorrow, right? They're playing them today and tomorrow. Do you know who Nick Kroll is?
The comedian?
That's Nick Kroll.
Thank you, because I'm like, wait a minute. The president of baseball operations for the Reds. They just fired their...
Also a comedian.
Yeah, it's been funny what they put out on the field.
They had just fired their manager.
Yeah.
And he was giving a press conference afterwards of their decisions and their vision. And some people took some real exception to what he was saying down there. Now, this is always going to come off to the people, and I want to compete too. So people hold him to a high standard. I do respect your position on that. Trust me, I do. But when Nick Kroll says, this is courtesy of Charlie Goldsmith, who covers the Reds for the Inquirer down there in Cincinnati, where he says, quote, Nick Kroll on the offseason. We'll have to go through the offseason and see what it looks like. We're always going to be a small market club. That's not going to change. We're going to bring up younger players here, draft and develop and bring these players up. We just need to get better across the board. There were so many people... So many directly comparing them and Cleveland, because it's like, whoa, Cleveland's not a big market. They're 4 hours away. You're in the same state, technically. You're in the same state. What are you talking about? That team's won how many division championships in the last 15 years? That team's been to the postseason how many times since 1995? Where is this whole thing about? Because it is a very, and this is where the understanding is for a very frustrated Guardians fan out there. It is a very convenient excuse if you make it out to be that way. Well, we're a small market team. Well, we're just a small market team. We got to battle against the big boys. We're a small market team. Well, there's not very much understanding there. Like, if it's your own family, that's one thing. But if you're talking about a professional sports franchise, the very first thing people say is, sell the team. If you're a small market team and you have budgetary restraints, well, just find somebody who doesn't have the budgetary restraints. Now, I know... Like when David Blitzer eventually takes over as the owner. My theory, my whole prediction is, I think he'll make a big splash to start things off to kind of get people on his side. Yep. I think they will spend some amount of money on a free agent or something
or
like that.
One off season.
And one off season. And then I think he will operate this as a team that operates kind of like they are now. My hope is that they operate like they are now. You know, until baseball finds a salary floor, but we can do that in the middle of July. We don't need to do that now. I'm just pointing it out that, man, it's such a convenient excuse if you decide to make it that way. And at one point, yeah, we remember what Larry Dolan had said, and that was an unfortunate thing to say way back when. But here you are, and your front office has done a fine job. You just don't want – this is one thing I did agree with Mad Dog on Friday. You don't want your front office to be the all-stars of your organization. You want the all-stars on the field to be the all-stars of your organization.
I mean, there's like 26 teams that are all operating the same way that the Guardians – and it's one of the huge problems with baseball. Fortunately, we have been able to come up with a formula for a team that doesn't spend money to be able to make the postseason, and doing it with – the way that they scout, the way that they now have drafted, the way that they have, you know, penny pinched and done it around, you know, the complexities of being able to find talent and doing it on the shoestring budget. And so that's just always going to be the way that it's going to work in towns like this. Unfortunately for baseball, it used to be like, oh, that's what 10 teams do. Now it's like what 25 teams do.
Yeah. Well, because they found out they can get away with it.
That's why the sport is nowhere near as popular nationally as it used to.
Because this is kind of the tough thing about it. Is the better the Guardians do, the better example it sets for other teams that they can just kind of ass off. And as long as they have, seriously, as long as they have good front office, which good front office people don't fall out of trees. Shapiro did a fine enough.
Out of the Guardians front office.
Shapiro did a fine enough job. Antonetti, yeah, there's criticism there, like there is with Antonetti Chernoff. There's criticism that's warranted, but they've done a fine enough job. However, when you see where they've been, I think they lay a groundwork of, hey, if we can do it their way, then we don't have to go out there and spend for some of these players. But if you look across Major League Baseball, especially with television deals being up in the air, spending was down across the board. Hell, the Twins tried to compete, and we remember the big conversation we had at the beginning of the year. They trimmed $30 million off the top of their salary, and those fans were really upset with them. They didn't sell out opening day after they won the division last year. Like, that is a sticking point with a lot of people. And you have Detroit. Detroit is a very large metro. Detroit, they are starting fresh. They're starting anew. And they got some exciting young ballplayers there. I think they're going to be a problem for quite a while. But there is a disconnect when you have the whole apron and you have a salary cap in the NBA. But you also have an owner here in Dan Gilbert who is not afraid to spend money, which is such a great convenience. In the NFL, they're all multi-billionaires with the exception of a couple. Like, we make fun of Mike Brown and act like he's poor. He's still worth like $2 billion. But you have this organization of the NFL where everybody feels if they hire the right people and draft the right people, they have a chance. And so it's able to be more equitable around the league. But if you're telling people that, hey, you know, we got to do this, well, they're not going to reward you and give you more. They know you're a money-making enterprise. As much as people like to act like fans are not stupid. And that you got to put something out there that's going to be exciting and fun for them, or they are not going to reciprocate. I mean, already the conversation in Pittsburgh, well, how are you going to hold on to Paul Skeens? He's a pitcher. He pitches once every fifth day. It'll probably command as much money as Shohei Ohtani if he keeps this up. Okay, well, good luck. And I don't think a lot of people want to talk about that over there. Well, I don't even want to talk about it here.
Well, that's why everything you just said is why when the Guardians are in this kind of a situation, I think it is a thrill. I continue to say this. There's nothing better than a team that overachieves. In sports, we had a very low bar going into the season, low expectations, and this team is, again, the envy of so many other cities, other markets like Cincinnati, and other places in baseball right now. So they do deserve for this regular season. I have no idea what's going to happen in the postseason. They could fall flat on their face and be eliminated immediately in an ALDS, or they could make an unbelievable run for the ages, a true October to remember. That's how baseball postseason works. But up to this point, I don't know how anybody could have a bad thing to say about the Guardians.
Nothing. The only thing I can do is look at matchups. Like the Astros, like Owen brings up the dry run. The Astros are a team that, because of their recent history, I get nervous about.
Like, are you positive we're even going to play the Astros?
No, I'm not. But I respect everybody. Let me go into this postseason saying I respect everybody. There's no bring on so-and-so. I want to prove I'm the best. That was a stupid thing to say in 2017, and I've certainly grown up from that statement. There is where I have to look at the big bad Yankees, even though their record doesn't say different. Like, yeah, that lineup, I could really say Gleyber Torres at the leadoff, but I mean, that lineup 1-4, even 1-5 is very difficult. And if you get Gerrit Cole out there, well, that's probably going to be tough. And Nestor Cortes, where he's not very good with everybody else, he's been great against us. So I have to deal with that. So that is something that I will be concerned with, hopefully, when we get to a point where maybe in an ALCS or something like that, we get to play the Yankees. Which, you know, you go down to the Yankees, fine. I'll deal with it as best I can, even though I don't want to. But I have faith that this has been such a wonderful season. And dare I say, maybe even later on this week, I'm still working this. It might be, as a fan, maybe my most satisfying regular season I've seen in since I was 9 years old.
We've had the most satisfying regular season. We've had, what, 26-game winning streaks? And
we had a 102-win season. Seven years ago.
There's guys on this club, you know, and again, they're humans, they're fallible. That's what happens. There's a lot of guys on this club, you know, they're good guys. There was guys that on that other club that a lot of people liked that I knew different about.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML,
my life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Kenny, is there anything out there that you crave? A food item, a restaurant? You absolutely love the
Pilgrim
food.
From get-go.
Well, then you got to let me finish the thought, because now you're going to wish you wouldn't have said that.
Hashtag ad.
But then you feel like crap the rest of the day because you ate it.
I do not. I never feel bad eating the Pilgrim. I'll tell you what it is. It's ramen noodles. I can't do it. They taste so good. They're such a salty delight. And I go, nope, can't do it.
And I've seen you in action.
I will feel like I'm going to die. Yeah, well, I actually bought some downstairs and then I hid them from Keith because I knew he would make fun of me about it. That's what I do. I have to hide my eating from my boss. That's a fun practice.
Well, well, it's either at home or at work. You got to hide it one way or another.
I don't have to hide anything in front of my wife. I have to hide it in front of Keith. What a great workplace we have here. Well done.
Well, I've kind of run into a situation that you're involved with.
Yeah.
Is that, well, we like to have these lunches once in a while with a very special client.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the same restaurant every single time.
Every time.
And I look forward to it. I absolutely love it. My wife, on the other hand, is furious with me because she knows what's going to happen.
Furious.
Because after I eat the food, there's something about the food that the rest of the day I feel miserable, and it impacts dinner, and it impacts my ability to, you know, be a rosy soul for the rest of the day at home. She basically says it changes my disposition, and she doesn't want to deal with it.
Changes
anymore.
Your disposition?
Yeah. Yeah, so... I sit there and I start complaining how I don't feel well.
How do you remedy?
The same thing happens every time. Well, I can't get you guys to change the restaurant. You guys continue to go to the restaurant, and yeah. I really like the restaurant. Well,
oddly enough, Cookie Pie has tried to change it several times, so we have rebuffed him. Yes,
really?
Yes,
it's news to me. So, what she did yesterday is she looked at the menu at the restaurant, and she has picked out the meal that she thinks will have a different effect on me the rest of the day. She is now ordering my food for me at this restaurant.
Okay.
Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
It's the lesser of two evils. We can still go to the restaurant, and I can get a different meal, and hopefully I can feel good the rest of the day.
What are you going to order?
A fajita. I'm not getting the brown beans. I'm getting the rice.
Okay, no refried beans.
No refried beans. I'm getting the healthier version, yes.
Okay. Is refined beans...
The chicken fajita.
I mean, they're fried, so they got to be bad for you.
So not only are they fried, Ken.
They're refried.
They're refried.
They fry them again, they go refry them things.
Probably cooked in lard. Probably that's what the deal is there.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So it's a Mexican restaurant that we go to, and I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine afterwards.
I've asked you guys before, do you have the same after effects?
I feel great.
Well, there's another...
I mean, it's great as I'm going to feel. I mean, look at me, but you get what I'm saying.
There's another place that we've talked about before that we go to. We love the hot sauce at the place, but it causes problems for me the next day 100% of the time. And so you'd think, well, just don't ever get that sauce. That's easy to say until you get excited about eating that sauce.
True.
And then you don't worry about what happens later.
So she's getting you a...
She has told me exactly what to order.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to order it.
Are you going to hold up? Because she hasn't pre-placed this order for you.
No. No, you, when we get there...
You are...
I am ready for you guys to make fun
gonna
of me.
You're going to go in and look at that menu and go, I'm going to make my change and do what Sarah said.
Yes.
You can get whatever you want. But I would say...
You guys aren't going to rip me?
No. Why am I going to rip you? It's your food. It's your mouth. You can eat whatever you want.
It's not his food. It's his wife's food that she picked out for him.
Well, yeah, but
I didn't pick this out.
He can go to the restaurant and just deny and lie to her and say that he had what she had and he can still feel sick afterwards.
It wouldn't be the first time.
So it doesn't matter. Well, I'm not. I didn't say that. I did not. I did not say that. Anywho... Yeah, you can just go there and eat whatever you want. I'm not going to stand there. And if you decide to get the fajita with just the rice, then go ahead and get the fajita with just the rice. You can do whatever you want, man. This is America.
Well, it's become very ritualistic when we go there. It's very...
Yes.
We walk in. We know when the order is supposed to be there. The food is there. You guys get the same thing basically every time.
I do. I'm going to get the... I already know what I'm going to get. I don't need to say. But you... So is this done for you? Like, do you even like this? Are you going to like eating it?
I don't know. That's the thing. It would be amazing if I do, because then it's easy. Then I'll just be getting
this
the rest
like
of the
time. Like, yeah,
if I don't like it, then the question is, do I have to ask you guys to go to a different restaurant?
Boy, going to a different restaurant. We've been doing this for a long time, Anthony.
Yeah.
It's your regular meeting spot. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if we can just go to a different place.
That is the difference between us, I think, is that you settle in nicely to those routines. I absolutely can't stand. Like, I can't.
Well, do you think this will affect your wonderful partnership that could...
Yeah, if you don't want that to happen.
If you change the restaurant?
Well, I'm low man on the totem pole here, and I'm late to the party, so I wouldn't dare.
You're same man on the totem pole.
Well, I would not
dare. There's no totem pole.
I would not dare try to get you guys to change course.
We'll find out.
Because you had been doing it before me for a long period of time.
We will find out. I can't wait to make a phone call later on today and find out how you're feeling. About 4 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to find out just how good Tone's feeling. Hopefully, you'll be feeling good. I pray that you'll be feeling good because I don't want this to end, this trip to the Mexican restaurant that we go to. I'm glad that Sarah was able to pick it out. I'm glad it didn't turn into a great big greasy horror show between you two. That's fantastic. John Greco going to be joining us next. How much of the offensive line is an excuse for Deshaun Watson? I do think it is an excuse for Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
yes.
It is.
Valid.
Yeah,
I think it's valid.
Now, the problem in his career is he's always been at the forefront of running himself into trouble. Like, we've gone back now and we've looked at his tendencies in Houston. No matter what, he's going to get sacked a lot. It doesn't matter how good or how bad the offensive line is. In fact, last year, the Flacco disparity showed that. In his 5 games or whatever, you know, the touchdown passes were all way up. The sacks were way down. So it's the way that Deshaun plays, too. So sometimes it's tough to parse how much is on the line, how much is on Watson. But we could all see with our eyes on Sunday, the line was terrible.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.